Welcome to the NLP UK Training Podcast. I'm Callie Fraser.
And I'm Steve Kay.
And today we're going to be talking about identity.
Identity.
What on earth is identity? We kind of think we know who we are, don't we?
Yeah.
I've got a funny story to tell you. So a couple of months ago, I got a phone call from an old friend of mine called Alex. And Alex used to be the head of dance at Siroc headquarters. So in my former life, I was a Siroc franchisee and teacher. And he said, oh, are you coming to CPD, our continuous professional development session on Sunday? I said, well, I wasn't planning to because I don't teach anymore, Alex. He's like, oh, you're joking, it's up in Nottingham. I was really hoping to see you. I haven't seen you for ages. I said, I'll tell you what, because it's in Nottingham, I'll pop along at lunchtime. So come Sunday, got ready, got in the car, drove to the venue. And as I walked in, it was around about lunchtime. It was a little bit early, but the training was still happening. So I walked in to lots of hugs and kisses from lots of other teachers that I knew, which was lovely. Sat down with the group while our current head of dance team continued to teach the SWOT teachers in the group. And I can remember sitting there going, oh my God, this is so familiar. But you know what? This isn't who I am anymore.
No.
And that was quite a weird thing to think.
Yeah.
Because actually, I spent 18 years as a SWOT teacher and franchisee. And it become part of who I was.
Mm-hmm.
It almost felt like I had Siroc in my DNA.
Yeah.
At the time. So, you know, people would say, oh, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm a Siroc teacher.
They always say that, don't they? What do you do? I remember when Josh was playing football as a little kid and you're one of the parents on the side of the pitch. And, oh, hello, I'm John. I'm Steve. What do you do? Oh, I'm a teacher. What do you do? Well.
And this is the thing, you know, our career has almost become part of our identity.
Well, I think they do become our identity. Mm.
And certainly as a Siroc teacher, that was very much my identity. I was very well known in the business. You know, I was the one up on stage with a head mic on. Everyone knew Callie the Siroc teacher. And it kind of became part of everything that I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember sitting there going, this is not who I am anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me thinking about, well, what actually is identity?
Right.
Because actually, being a Siroc teacher wasn't who I was. It was what I did.
But why does it matter what identity is?
What is it, Steve?
But does it matter?
I don't know.
I suppose it only matters if it limits us.
Mm.
Or stops us from doing something else. Or something we cling on to.
And I clung on to my SWOT teacher identity for a long time.
You got attention. That's coming.
Yeah, I was up on stage.
Yeah, with your mic.
Yeah. Absolutely. In my Jimmy shoes.
It's funny, actually, because somebody was talking to me about, it might have been Granger, it could have been someone else. They were talking to me about coaching people who were transitioning into retirement and them having goals. So one day they stop and that's it. And he said, what people do, if you speak to people who are retired, and you say, what do you do? They say, I'm a retired teacher, or I'm a retired doctor, or I'm a retired plumber, or I'm a retired teacher, or I'm a retired. There's always the word retired.
Something.
Something now and afterwards. Not, oh, I'm a grandparent.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm a stay-at-home mum, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm the other. They always have to have something that they cling on to. Mm-hmm. It's like when we had, when Josh was growing, we made the decision that, because I was all over the place. And Dawn's mum was getting to the stage where she wasn't very well some of the time. So we decided that Dawn was going to stay at home rather than putting him into childcare, and she didn't want to go back into counselling. And it's like people would say to me, what does your wife do? And I'd say, she does some work in business. She brings up child. She does stuff with her mum. She does this. It's like, well, doesn't she have a job? Well, that is a job. That is, you know. And she does the finance, she does the accounts for us. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. She does the accounts for you. Apparently, it's a very level five thing. People who are level five think all women should work. But back to this retired teacher thing and retired banker thing. It's funny that they have to have that after. Then, you know, what are they? Because they've been a retired SWOT teacher. They've been an NLP trainer. They're now a retired NLP trainer. They never retire.
Is that all they are?
Exactly.
Because I'm pretty sure that's not all I am as a retired SWAT teacher.
And we did nick this. We did nick the costume shop analogy of James Smart's, didn't we? Whereas it's like going to a costume shop, like Mr. Ben.
Yeah.
Since the costume shop had a new identity, and he was a pirate, or he was a sailor, or he was a hunter, or whatever, and. Like when we start school, we have an identity of being an infant. Then we go to school, and you know, you're a kid, you go to school, and you're a school kid. That's your identity, isn't it? And then you get a bit older, and then you go to the next phase, then you go to the next phase, then you might be college. So I'm a college student. And then you go to university, at university, and then you get your first job. I'm an apprentice. Accountant or whatever, and then but you have a different costume and you change your costume every few years, but that's what you are. And when people say, who am I, you, what's your name, who are you, what do you do, that's what they do, don't they? What do you do? It's like, well, they do this. So like they then label you as that and you label yourself.
But isn't it strange how we don't just label ourselves as part of our identity with the careers and the jobs that we do, but lots of other things as well. So I can remember coaching a lady a few years ago, and she'd come to me with some help because she was clinically depressed and she wanted to improve her mindset.
When you say clinically, what does that mean?
So she was on medication from her GP, had been depressed for a number of years, and it was really quite life-limiting for her. But this depression...
The clinical thing sounds...
Well, her depression was actually had become part of her identity.
Okay.
And it became an I am thing.
Okay.
I am depressed.
Yeah.
Rather than... I have depression.
Yeah.
It was, I am depressed.
Well, I'm feeling a bit low.
Yeah. But actually it became part of who she was.
Okay.
And I can remember, I worked with her for a few months. And, you know, by the time that we'd finished coaching, her mindset was completely different. She was starting to see lots of different possibilities. And she made the decision at that point to go back to her GP and get some advice about starting to wean off her antidepressants, which I believe that she did, but it was through her GP, not through me. And about 6 months later, I hadn't realised, but we had some mutual friends. And I was at a party at a friend's house and she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I overheard some people saying to her, oh, how's your depression? Are you all right? How's your depression? And one of the proudest career moments I've ever had, I think, was when I overheard her say, oh, I don't do that anymore. And it flipped from being part of her identity to something that she did.
So rather than immersing herself in thoughts that were negative,
Yeah.
she didn't do that anymore.
Yeah, she did something different.
And there was a chemical change in her brain because she no longer immersed herself in those thoughts.
Absolutely.
Apparently, that's what it is.
You know, you become what you believe,
Yeah.
don't you?
So what you're saying is that people can identify themselves as I'm depressed, I am this, I am that. But the I am bit is it's the I am bit, the identity, without the add-on. I am a joiner, or
Yeah.
is it just I am?
And I think if we can get back people back to their truest selves, their true identity, without all the baggage that comes with our scripts that we've talked about before, actually, that's who we all are.
Because if your identity is like, I'm a middle manager in a, I don't know, transport company, then if that's how you see yourself and somebody else is doing something else, because you know that you're a middle manager in a transport company, you wouldn't dare to dream that you
Yeah.
could do that over there. Train as a vet or do something else.
You know, when I was wearing my SWAT teacher costume, I might have never considered the possibility that I could swap that costume out for an NLP trainer's costume.
No. But even the NLP trainer, is that your true identity?
That's just a costume too. It's what I do, not who I am.
Yeah.
You know, the true Callie, the true identity of Callie
Yeah.
is lots of different things.
Right. So, you know, when people get maimed in wars, we had a lot of people who were in Afghanistan came back and they created the games and they learned to run, and
Yeah.
their identity, their true identity, didn't change because they lost a leg
No, of
or lost
course
two
not.
limbs. So their identity wasn't their human form. Well, obviously you need some of it. And is your identity, we talked about the script, didn't we? So is your identity before your script started being formed? And if so, if you can challenge, well, so is your true self, your true identity, like, you're like a clean slate, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, you know, we can get so hung up on these identities that we create for ourselves, and they are completely created, that we forget that we can change them.
And your script's fed from a young age,
Yeah.
from birth, because parents and carers are there, part of their role is to rewire a baby to live in the environment, the
Yeah.
appointment, isn't it? So it's their fault. So, but your true self is before that,
Yes.
in theory. So if your true self is before all that, I've heard the same story from two people now. But you know, when you're in an aeroplane and you're in the clouds, you come through the clouds and the sun's always there, unless it's nighttime. But the sun's always there, the light's always there. So the light is always there. It's just there's a bit of cloud covering up, bit of dust on the lamp, be blown off. And the reason why I'm asking this is because if we think that we're the costume that we're wearing, it means that we might not want to of another costume. But
Exactly.
if we know that our true identity is before our script
We can choose
and
any
limiting
costume we want.
beliefs, then what's the worst thing can
Yeah,
happen?
exactly. Exactly. We can just go back and pick another costume at any point. And I think
Or
that's
maybe not
actually
pick another costume.
just be our true selves.
Doing this or doing that or doing the other. We don't have to be any good at it, do we? To start off with.
That's all right. No one's good at something the first time they do it.
No.
To get good at something, you have to practice.
Yeah.
So if you want to choose another costume, that's absolutely possible. Steve and I have both chosen new costumes throughout our lives. And I'm sure we'll go through some more costume changes again before life is done. So if you fancy picking out a new costume, remember that the identity that you have now isn't completely fixed.
It's very empowering, isn't it?
Very, very. So we hope you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and we'll see you back next time.